Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly clear. 48 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 51 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 49 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 48 degrees. Updated weather. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 47 degrees. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 43 degrees. Special weather statement. Special weather statement.
NADBF mobile.
The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Clear. 39 degrees.
W8FU. Good morning.
Good morning. Who that?
NADBF.
All right, I caught your melodious tones on the second.
So you wouldn't have had to set it.
Anyhow, where you at?
Just crossed over 32 on 53 heading to work.
Ah, downtown Romeo. Which system are you on?
I am on 075, and I'll run that until I get to about 23, I think. I still haven't found the perfect cutover between 25 and 23. There's a dead spot there.
Roger, gotcha. Yep, I've been disappointed by that Romeo site since it went up. I thought it was better with the bad antenna. We had a more significant antenna, but we had a super station master up there, but it was like 50 years old, and it was really presenting a bad match, and it was cut for completely wrong part of the band. And so I really thought that giving up few dB on the gain and getting something that was resonant would have made a big difference, but in fact it didn't. So, anywho, what else is new and exciting? Get anything opening day? It's definitely no UMP or 675, but for my area, I mean, it still gets around pretty good. It's just got a weird spot. You're like, why the hell can I not get into this repeater? Why does it sound so bad? And then it clears up instantly, but I guess that could be anywhere. And you said it's not that high, right? And, yeah, I got one doe. I had two more standing in the field after it rolled over. And I was texting buddies. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this unless you want it. But by the time they got back to me, the other ones had moved on, and I didn't feel like dealing with more deer, so I called it a night. Roger. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the video in Telegram, but my big 10-pointer been rutting around my backyard after my doe. I got a doe living in a neighbor's yard with her two little bucks. They're still buttons. And but the big 10-pointer was in there trying to find her for a couple of weeks there during rut. He was glorious. He had a really nice rack. It's funny watching them in rut, man. There's no concept of danger or anything. They just chase, nose down, chasing. And I watched a really nice eight do the same thing with a big doe in the field I was hunting, but it was my buddy's farm, and he's like, no bucks unless they're outrageous wall hangers once in a lifetime, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no, fair enough. You know, he's got his boys with him. Young boys, I haven't shot a deer yet, so. But, yeah, no, it's awesome watching. I honestly kind of prefer watching deer as long as there's activity than killing them. Or, it's just more fun to watch them, I should say.
Oh, I agree. Well, I mean, wildlife in general, even things like groundhogs, you know, they're cute, but they're destructive, and varmints and pests, so there's that. It's unfortunate. Skunks, cute as hell. Possums are off limits. They don't do nothing to nobody. They're good for you. So, in my opinion. But they're ugly, but they're harmless. Now, I don't know. This big 10-pointer was, yeah, you're right. During rut, they just get stupid. He was all over my yard looking for this doe. He didn't realize that she had hopped over into the neighbor's yard. He was just in my yard. I opened up the door wall to let the dog out, and he's standing right there looking at me like, you know, what do you want, you know? And he don't give a shit. He's just sitting there looking at me, and then he just turns kind of calmly and starts sniffing around looking for her again. And then I was on my way leaving. I was getting picked up for work that day, and he was out in front of the neighbor's house. He's still trying to figure out she's in her yard, and he's still trying to figure that out. And he's out in front of her house, and the neighbor's out front walks, like, within 5 feet of him because a car stopped in front of the house. It's kind of rare to see that, you know, around us, especially a big buck with a rack. And there's a car stop, so she's walking over to the car that stopped right in front of the house. He's standing right in front of the house. My guy pulls up in a car to pick me up for work, and he's like, what the hell? And I'm standing there talking to the car and the neighbor and all that, and he's just standing there in front of the house looking at us all like, what the hell are you guys, you know, up to? He could care less.
It's amazing that an animal that smart can get so dumb because they got one thing on their mind, and it's kind of unfortunate because it's great for hunters, bad for those guys, but they just... they lose, like we're saying, all concept of danger and reality, and that's how they get smoked, and that's how, you know, those good genetics go away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, rut's generally over by the 15th. So, you know, good for the bow hunters. But nowadays, you know, I don't even keep track anymore of all the different seasons there are. You know, I used to, my entire deer hunting life, it was, you know, doe would open up at the beginning of the month, and then rifle, firearm would pick up on the 15th, and then December 1st to go back to doe for a bit, bow, I should say, and black powder to get in there for a couple of weeks. That was it, you know, done by Christmas. And nowadays, how many firearm seasons and bow seasons are there now? How long is season open, and what are the rules now? You know what I learned this weekend? I learned that there was a point in Michigan where you had to hunt from the ground and you could not hunt elevated. I thought that was pretty interesting. So right now there's October 1st. This isn't counting like the sub-seasons, but I'm pretty sure it's from October 1st to maybe mid-February, but there's caveats to all that, right? Like October 1st, archery, and then you can hunt bow until November 15th, and November 15th is like a couple-week season, and then you trickle into black powder, but down here I think you can still use straight-walled cartridge in black powder zones, and then you get like your late antlerless firearm, your late antlerless bow, and then if you're in a deer management unit like Macomb County, I think, don't quote me, I want to say that those go into February, and then I'm pretty sure the rest of Michigan, they just increase the season length to sometime into January for antlerless firearm because there's just so many does. Right. Okay. Well, that's quite different. I'm not sure when the earliest bow was when I was back when I was hunting a lot. I don't remember it going back to October. It could have, but I don't remember that. And it was really, it was really up and down. Well, you had bow on both sides of firearm. I remember when the straight wall was introduced. I thought, holy cow, that's cool. It's south of Line A. Never did take advantage of that, but boy, I was looking. I was thinking real seriously at that time, getting a 444 or something. I wasn't sure, but I had a 44 carbine from Ruger. I adored that gun. God, I loved it. That I used for my first couple of seasons back in the late 70s, early 80s, and. Yeah, I'd give my left nut for another one of them, just because it was the first gun I ever took a deer with, and it wasn't mine, belonging to this guy Carl up north, and but yet, you know, it was the one I always got to use the first couple of years I went out. Anywho, that would be ideal for down here, south of Line A, straight wall. I forgot to mention that in September there's Youth Hunt, Liberty Hunt, and Early Doe, too, which is all firearms. That's like the second to last week of September they do that. And, yeah, the straight wall thing's cool. I've taken deer with 450. I now shoot a 350. In my opinion, you don't really gain anything with a 450 other than way more recoil, more expensive ammo. The ammo's not the greatest with the 450s either. I've been looking at 44 mags and 357s too. I think they're sweet calibers, 100, 150 yard gun, but still cool. Still want to take a deer with one. The cool thing with the 350 though is, I'm comfortably shooting deer out to 200. I haven't taken anything past that yet, but this summer on the depredation block tags, I'll start stretching it out, see how far I can get with that thing. Well, two questions. You said 350. I'm completely unfamiliar with that. What platform is that? What cartridge? And then you said 450. You talk about the 450 Bushmaster, and are you running that in an AR, or are you running that elsewise? Or maybe you're talking about something else completely. 350 Legend is a 357 bullet. I'm shooting 165 grain. It's a straight wall cartridge. I have a CVA Scout, so it's a break action takedown, so it's a very, very compact, light little rifle. Awesome, stupid accurate, one hole at 100 yards. I used to shoot a 450 Bushmaster, but ballistically there's not a whole lot of difference inside of 300 yards as far as kinetic energy and drop, so I'm like, well, I'd rather watch impact and know that my shot's good than punch a huge hole. So the 350 Legend is by far my favorite. They just came out with a 400 Legend, but now I think we're starting to split hairs. I don't know really what you're gaining by shooting that.
They keep coming out with these new cartridges. I'm pretty sure the 450 and 350 are here to stay. I don't know about these other ones.
And are you shooting the 450 out of a AR platform? Or are you shooting that out of like a PC or something?
I forgot to answer that, my bad. No, I don't have it anymore. I had a CVA Hunter, so it's a break action like the Scout, compact, but it wasn't threaded, it wasn't stainless, it wasn't fluted. It was like honestly, they're sweet guns. If you just want a gun to get in the woods with, they're like $250, or they were. But that's the cool thing with the 350s and the 450s, you can just buy an upper and slap it on your AR, and you're in the woods.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, because I'm not familiar with the 350 at all. That sounds intriguing. And so that will work in an AR platform. Very cool. I'm going to have to investigate a little bit of that. I'm still, have you followed 300 Black at all? I was a big fanboy, mostly because of the suppressed, the ability to go back and forth between suppressed and unsuppressed. And, so I've got a Noveski build that I'm working on. I just haven't really hammered down a handguard yet. But 300 Black was kind of the darling for a hot minute. I'm sure you know, in the AR platform. And I don't know what else. There were a lot. There was the... there was the SOCOM, whatever that was, I forget now, 6.9 or whatever it was. There was a lot of them, but I was really always a big fan of the 300 Black. Still doing one of those in a little shorty suppressed that I got. But this 350 Bush, I don't even know if it's a Bushmaster. This 350 you talk about has my interest peaked.
NADDF. I have always loved the 300 Blacks, the thought of them and everything. Problem with 300 Blacks, ballistically, they're of no use to me. If I had, parts and cash, oh my god, a truck literally went and hit the pole at Garfield and Plank, Hall Road at Big Boy. 300 Blacks, awesome, but ballistically, it's of no use for me, especially shooting subs, so I don't know what I would do with it other than, have it under the bed. But no, I love them. I love how quiet they are. Ammo is expensive. They're a very, very cool toy gun. I mean, you could definitely shoot a deer with it, but you'd have to be, sub 75 yards, I'd say. But 350 Legend, check it out. I mean, it's a dedicated hunting round. Like, you're not doing anything crazy with it. It's a wet balloon. But they come in like a 150. You can get a monolithic in like a 140 or 145, but they're expensive. They come in a 165, a 180. But between my dad and I, the last 2 years, year and a half, we've killed over 20 deer. Not had to track any of them except for one, and that's the only one I got away because he made a bad shot at 200 yards. So impressive ballistics. Ammo's not that expensive. Rifles aren't that expensive. The recoil is like next to nothing. And then we shoot the press. So, like I said, that doe I shot this weekend, she ran a 15-yard circle, rolled, and then the rest of the deer in the field were just like, what just happened?
All right, yeah, very cool. No, I knew 300 Black was not real. I mean, there's some guys hunting hogs with them and stuff, but, but really, its role is different. It's not a hunting round. And, yeah, you're right. Under the bed, standing up in the corner, whatever. Yeah, that's where 300 Black comes into play. Anywho, and that's why I built that upper. That's the bump in the night round. If you're gonna go for a long arm on a bump in the night situation, hell, I got two choices. I'd probably grab before that. So it's a pretty long shot bump in the night. Grab my handgun and fight my way to my shotgun, and that would be the furthest one from my mind. But if it were there and handy,
I wouldn't mind like a pistol or an SBR in that caliber for by the bed, but I want one of those like wall safe things where the gun's basically exposed, or I don't know, not a wall safe. I don't know. It's one of those like mounts that go under a shelf or a cabinet or something, and like it's biometric and it's a quick disconnect kind of deal. But yeah, I got the same thing. I got a 19X all Gucci'd out with a Surefire on it and 24 round magazine. So, and a Trigicon. That's my go-to. But yeah, hopefully I don't have to do a bump in a night situation, right? Sorry about that. I was ordering my coffee at Starbucks. Nobody in line here today. But, yeah, I mean, that's obviously the bump in the night stuff is usually a handgun. I just picked up a P365X, and, oh, man, I am just loving that thing. That is, it's just literally replaced everything. You know, I haven't had it long enough to really just, you know, absolutely retire everything, but hold on a second. Sorry about that. I was paying for my coffee. I had to add funds and all that other stuff to my phone app. I want to make sure I get my stars, you know, so that I get my freebie every now and again. That's the only thing that makes it tolerable. But anyhow, yeah, I was saying I got that P365 has now replaced my just about everything. That's my go-to for carry. It's my go-to bedside, go-to for everything. You know, I have been looking at those hard. I'm a Glock guy. I've got a 43X MOS in my cart. They're like 448 and dot on it, you're set. But, my wife's got a 365. I used to have one. I had the first job, but that was when they were having these firing pin issues. But I adore those guns. They're tiny. They disappear. They shoot great. I just was looking at the 365X Legion, I think it's called. But it's a $1,200 pistol with no dot. And it's a full steel frame. I mean, they're awesome. I think that might be the next pistol I get, either the 365X or, I was looking at the Macro, but I still think that's too big. I carry a 45 right now, so I'm still going to be packing 17 rounds. It's still heavy. It's still big. I want something that can disappear, and I think the 365 or the 365XL are the way to go.
Well, I got the Cygnus a while back. One of my buddies, he had one of all of them, right? And I got in a little piss and match with him, you know. He'd get one, then I'd have one, then he'd get one, I'd get one. The difference is he gets to write his off, you know, because, you know, he's sworn. So it was not fair. He gets to write them off. I don't. But he got me infected with the Cygnus. And, so for the longest time, I had my 239 was my kind of like small pistol, and then but that wasn't small at all. It was just too big, and so I got a car PM9, but you know that thing was fine. But it was, you know, it was small. It would just disappear. But it always, I never really felt completely comfortable with it. You know, I read on some issues with them and stuff. And my son said he had some smokestacks with it and when he was shooting it. But you know, that can have a lot to do with your grip and your, you know, and how you're holding it and all that. But I never did. But it just always in the back of my mind, it was nagging at me that it was, you know, it was just not SIG reliable. And you know, then I got the 229, and that became my go-to. But that's a beast, right? And so you know, I had all these different
things, you know, the 239 and 229, I would alternate between those and the P9 for when I, you know, really needed deep cover and all this. And, you know, and then I had some, you know, I had some other stuff that, you know, would occasionally, but, you know, you got to pick what you're practicing with. I couldn't go to those lesser, you know, pieces because I just wasn't up on them. And I had a lot of time in on those other ones. Not as much on the PM9, probably why it was never really it was never really satisfying for me because I just never really had the time in on it like I did on the 2.6. But this thing all of a sudden came out, and it does all of it. It does what the PM9 did, a little bit bigger, but it does the PM9's work. It does everything, you know, capacity-wise. It does what the 229 does. Just everything about it, you know, it hits all them buttons, you know, and so now the 229, 239, the P9 never come out of the safe anymore.
Yeah, Stig really knocked that line out of the park, and they just keep adding to it. Honestly, it seems like every iteration they make it better. They got the macro now, they got the ported ones, they got safety, no safety, they've got every, you know, they've got the, you know, I call them trim levels, right? You got the base model, you got the lesions, they got the AXGs, they've got ported, they've got compensated, they've got, there's so many different, you know, SKUs for the 365, and I've never held a pistol that just fits your hand so well. And I'm a Glock guy, right? So I'm used to holding onto a brick, but that's why I've always been a Glock guy, is because that's what I've always had, and I've always shot, and I've always been proficient with, and, you know, I can strip these things down to nothing and do whatever I need to do to them. Like, I just like them because they're simple and reliable, but SIG is slowly creeping up on that. Maybe not slowly, they've been there. I've just been a little jaded. But, yeah, I think I'm going to, I don't know, it's between a 43X MOS and a 365XL. What I do like about the SIGs is it seems like they all come with an optics plate now. And Glock, you got to make sure you get the right one. Granted, they're not much of a cost difference, if any, but being a right-handed shooter, left-eye dominant, everyone that's, you know, in the service is like, oh, you got to shoot left-handed. It's like, well, I've been shooting right-handed for 15 years. I'm not going to switch now. So a dot is a must, but yeah, no, they're great guns. I was looking at HKs too, but SIG keeps bringing me back, so I think that'll be my next purchase. And they're you know, pretty cost effective in the grand scheme of good pistols. But all right, Sean, I gotta go in. I'm already 30 minutes late here. I had to try to get the blood off my truck, which I failed miserably. So I'll be out of here at 4 if anyone's around, and if not, I'll catch up with you maybe tomorrow. I'll be clear for yours. NADDF.
Oh, sorry about that. I was had the encryption switch on my radio. Oops. Anyhow, you can't go wrong either way. I mean, they're both great pieces, so it's going to be a tough decision for you. Me, the Glocks don't fit my hand really well, so it's an easy decision for me. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
Good morning, 0800 hours, fog, 43 degrees. Updated weather, special weather statement.
W-8-D-A-P.
Special weather statement.
NAKBP.
Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good morning, 0900 hours, fog, 44 degrees. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good morning, 1000 hours. Fog. 44 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good morning, 1100 hours. 46 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 50 degrees.
I'm not sure if you have an all-star node. Do you have an all-star node for the trip? Or, of course, if you're going to be on this one, you can carry, you'll be able to connect with OBU's repeater out in near Lansing. There's a Lansing repeater. I'm not sure if there's anything beyond that, but you should have coverage on this for a good portion of your trip. End of your rope. W8FU. W8FU. RUH mobile. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly cloudy. 50 degrees. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly sunny. 52 degrees.
KUH mobile.
So Foxtrot 8, Alpha Tango Charlie, we're monitoring.
W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Partly sunny. 54 degrees.
Were you here, Don?
W8RCY. You looking for me, Sean?
I didn't do it. I wasn't there.
Okay, I'm hearing things. W8RCY, clear.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 54 degrees.
NABBS mobile.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. cloudy. 50 degrees.
W8FU.
W8FU, AB8 here.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 50 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 51 degrees.
KE8TFM. Seems like everything's working good. This is KE8TFM.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 50 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 50 degrees.
W8FU.
Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly cloudy. 50 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. 50 degrees.